Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for holding. Welcome to CESP's results call for the fourth quarter of 2019 and for the full year of 2019. We would like to inform you that this call is being recorded. After the company's presentation, we will move into a Q&A session for analysts and investors. If you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by dialing star zero. We are also on a live webcast with audio and slides, which can be accessed through the company's investor relations website at www.ri.cespi.com.br. The presentation will also be available for download there. The following information will be presented in BRL according to the Brazilian legislation and accounting practices used in Brazil, BRGAAP, which are in full compliance with the International Financial Reporting Standards, IFRS, unless stated otherwise. Before we continue, we would like to clarify that any statements made during this conference call about the company's future business perspectives, as well as projections, operational and financial goals, and its potential growth are merely predictions based on the management's expectations on the company's future, based on current information. Future considerations are not a performance guarantee. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions related to future events that depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that our industry's performance, Brazil's overall economic performance, and other operational factors may lead to results that differ materially from the company's expectations. We have with us today Mr. Mario Bertoncini, CEO and Investor Relations Officer, as well as Mr. Marcelo De Jesus, CFO. I would now like to give the floor to Mr. Mario Bertoncini, who will begin this presentation.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for listening in. And we are going to begin our results call with a presentation of the results for the fourth quarter of 2019. Just to set an agenda, we are going to cover, during the first part of this call, five topics, the first of which will be the highlights from last year, 2019. And afterwards, we're going to be talking a bit about our active and passive litigation. And we're going to be talking about the energy market last year. We'll give a brief summary. And then Marconio de Jesus is going to tell us a bit about CESP's financial performance. And finally, we'll see the main initiatives for 2020. During the second part of the call, we'll open for a Q&A session. So starting on page four in the slides you have, we have the highlights from the past year. The first thing to mention here is that there was a continuation of our operational excellence in the plants, in our operations. We had a good level of availability. It was higher than the previous year, 2018, and we finished 2019 with a 93% availability, which is a benchmark, and it's one of our highlights, especially in comparison to the previous year. Moreover, as many of you have heard, we also had, in two different occasions, a volunteer dismissal program. Throughout last year, we had a compliance of two-thirds of the eligible base in our volunteer dismissal program, which, even if you consider the contingency of people who came in after the privatization, it means we finished the year with a reduction in payroll of about 50%. This is an important fact for our cost management and in CESP's transformation process. Finally, it's also worth highlighting that we started and concluded last year the implementation of an SAP system. And besides SAP itself, there were many initiatives involved in adjusting systems and providing more automation. In the near future, we will have a different level in terms of systems and information intelligence. In terms of financial performance, we finished the year with an adjusted profit of 752 million BRL, which is a net margin of 48%. This is 50% higher than the previous year. And Marcelo will give us some more color on that and will tell us about how we reached this figure. We finished 2019 with net profits of 1.2 billion. And this is also going to be detailed further on, and it's related to some of the important adjustments that we have carried out at the end of 2019. Regarding our management of costs and expenses, we finished the year 2019 with a reduction of 16% in manageable costs throughout the year. And that already excludes the non-recurring costs, such as a volunteer dismissal program and litigation. So, considering our expenses, the most appropriate figure to give is the figure for the last quarter, because it already takes the adjustment after it is concluded. If we compare the fourth quarter of 2019 with the fourth quarter of 2018, we had a total cost reduction of 32%. And that includes the purchased power cost, payroll, and all other categories. We finished the year with a cash conversion of 65%. This is basically the part of the EBITDA that became cash. This will be detailed for further on. This is before dividends are paid out, and also considering our litigation provisions. We are also proposing to the assembly payment a payout of 606 million BRL in 2020 in dividends, and this is relative to the results we got from 2019. This will be about 1.85 BRL per share, and our proposal is to pay it in two parts over 2020. The first part will be 1.25 BRL to be paid in April, and the second part will be 70 cents BRL in October. Regarding trading, we reached an important mark, which also impacts our results. In managing our energy balance over 2019, we had a reduction of 28% in the purchased power cost. We're going to give some more details on that soon, but this brought a savings of 210 million BRL over the year, which can be compared to the previous year. It was very significant amount of energy saved. Also in 2019, we structured the CESP trading company. We have gone through the process of being approved by ANEEL and CCE. We brought some market team to support our own in-company team. We have made our political structure leaner. So we started operating now in January 2020. Finally, to summarize our litigation, as you can see here on the slide, we had a reduction in the total passive litigation of 1.5 billion BRL over 2019, of which 614 million BRL were a reduction of the likely lawsuits, the provisioned part of our litigation. So that gave us 192 million BRL and in the following page, on page 6, we see our total passive litigation. We finished the year in December 2019 with a total of 11.4 billion BRL. This is are a result of some of the negotiations. So this reduction was the fruit of some negotiations, some settlements we had, and some rulings, the most expressive of which were very recent. And there were also revisions and changes over the year. So due to the higher level of understanding that we got about the different cases, so at the end of 2019, from 11.4 billion, this is a very assertive figure, especially based on the information we have now. Out of this 11.4 billion, 1.8 billion has been provisioned for. That is also a reduction versus the previous year. Regarding the fourth quarter of 2019, we see the right side of the slide showing a reduction of 1.46 billion BRL over the year, about half of which, 794 million, were adjustments carried out in the last quarter, where we reached these figures. In the results report that we published, we give some more detail on these passive litigation. Most of it is due to what we call environmental lawsuits, but these are actually public interest civil actions, which falls into that category of environmental lawsuits. And most of it is due to some lawsuits opened by ceramic company employees in Porto Primavera. This makes up about one-third of the total litigation. This is described in detail in our reports. Continuing on page 7, we see our active litigation, especially in Três Irmãos. As a reminder, for the fourth quarter of 2019, there were no material facts for these lawsuits over the quarter, although they are not on hold. In November, the lawsuit was moved on to trial. So we have invited parties to manifest themselves. And also in December, there was a request for the process to be carried out in a digital format. So it's not on hold. The lawsuit is ongoing, and that can be seen due to this kind of information that was given to us. It is moving, although we don't have anything new, we don't have any subpoenas or anything of this sort. So we are still waiting for the next stage of the lawsuit. So moving on to page 9, we talked a bit about the energy market here. So what we're doing here is basically summarizing some of our indicators over 2019. On the left side of page 9, we can see the evolution of our A&E. The gray part of the graph is the real figure, so real data observed over the year, in comparison to the other curve in red, showing basically the long-term average for the same A&E. As you can see, this is basically our level of energy stored. In 2019, as you can see, there are three distinct phases over the year. First, in the beginning of 2019, especially in January and February, our A&E was quite below the long-term average, meaning that right then, together with a higher power demand, as we can see on the right-hand side, you can see that there were energy peaks, it was quite volatile, and it was high. And after that, we went through a second stage, that was basically characterized between March and July in 2019, where you see some convergence between the real A&E, the average, and the load has been close to what we saw in the previous year. And also energy prices settled. There was a reduction over the year. And finally, we reached a third stage in August of 2019 to December, where again, both lines split. So the real A&E was quite below the historical level, especially around September and October 19. We had record lows, 51-53%, which made prices hike up again. On the following page, we have the energy balance for CESP and how we behaved regarding it. On page 10, we also see the energy balance for 2019, our management of how the energy balance was traded. It was very efficient in 2019. We had a relevant savings in comparison to the previous year. As you can see, graph 2 on this page, on the lower left-hand corner, there was a reduction of 245 megawatts, which was the short exposure for the year 2019, which we inherited in December 2018 when we took management of the company. The way we mitigated it, the way we zeroed it over the year, these 245 megawatts, is basically related to the cost of energy purchased. The way we manage the accounts are here in graph number 3. You'll see on the upper side that this was at a cost of 259 BRL per megawatt per hour. So that was the figure for the year, which is here on graph 3. This represents a reduction in the expenses of 28% with purchasing power. So a saving of 210 million BRL, meaning that our expenses with purchasing power went down from 750 million BRL in 2018 to 540 million BRL in 2019. Basically, it's worth mentioning three other points here. The first of them is related to the fourth quarter of 2019. In this quarter, we had some volatility with higher energy prices. It's important to say, and this is something you'll see later on when Marcelo presents our financial results, that this volatility and these higher prices did not impact our results significantly. Quite contrary, we managed to save during the fourth quarter of 2019 many of our costs. So our cost level was significantly lower in comparison to the fourth quarter of 2018. So there was no impact. Another thing to mention is related to 2020. Over 80% of our exposure for 2020, which we took when we took office in the past, has been mitigated. It has been returned and calculated. And the remainder is under 20% to reach level zero for 2020. We will give more detail on that soon. We're not presenting that today, but this will be presented soon, as we did last year, with all the transparency we've been having. It's also important to highlight that the way we manage our energy balance in 2020 is so that price volatility and the price levels we saw in the first quarter of this year, or actually the first 2 months, January and February of 2020, did not impact our results significantly. So we have been zeroed out. So this is what we have done, and therefore we were not impacted by the volatility we saw in the last 2 months. I'll now let Marcelo de Jesus speak, and he's going to tell us about our financial performance. Thank you, Mario. Good morning, everyone. Continuing this results call, Here on page 12, we are presenting our cost, the cost side of our equation. So the first thing we see is a reduction in the costs in purchased power. In the fourth quarter, we had a significantly lower cost in comparison to the previous year. It was lower by 52% or 101 million BRL. So when we compare the entire year, we saved 210 million BRL. It's important to note that this reduction basically came from a lower price in purchasing power, since the volumes purchased are basically similar. In 2018, the average price was 357 BRL per megawatt hour, while in 2019, our average price was 259 BRL per megawatt hour. Looking at our other costs, we should look at personnel and administrative expenses, where we had a reduction in the fourth quarter of 38%. It's important to highlight that this expense in personnel and the other savings that we're going to present further on, the best reduction was, in fact, in the fourth quarter. Until December of 2019, we basically implemented all the initiatives that we had to cut costs. In terms of administrative and personnel, there was a reduction of 50% in our number of employees, as our volunteer dismissal program was very successful, and 67% of the eligible staff have accepted it. In terms of third parties and rent, we had a reduction of 32% due to contract renegotiation and a revision of our processes. When we look at the total cost managed, for the fourth quarter, there was a reduction of 32%, a total of 17% over the year, or 249 million BRL. It's important to highlight that in 2020, we will continue focusing on cost discipline, whether it is in managing our energy balance, as well as the other expenses we have. Continuing with page 13, here we see an evolution of our EBITDA and how cost management provided a growth of EBITDA of 249 million BRL in the year, an increase of 50%. This EBITDA also led to a strong cash generation. We reached a operational cash flow of 491 million BRL, or a cash conversion of 65% of our adjusted EBITDA. And this cash flow will be allocated like this. The first item was paying for litigation, this allocation. When we look at the number of judicial deposits, we had a net reimbursement of 95 million BRL. Then we had a payout of dividends, 297 million BRL, related to 2018. And finally, we had financing activities and investments with 330 million BRL, resulting in a cash flow of 491 and a final figure of 741 million BRL. So before I continue, I'd just like to mention something brief about our net profits. For the fourth quarter of 2019, it went up by 6%, although there was a reduction of 4% over the entire year. It's worth highlighting that this reduction is also part of how we manage our energy balance, since for some contracts, you can step out of the contract, obviously, when the situation makes sense according to the price of energy. Let's continue with page 14, where I discuss the composition of the company's net profits, which reached 1.2 billion BRL. Obviously, besides our adjusted EBITDA of 752 million BRL, we had basically three other non-recurring events, especially during the fourth quarter of 2019, which led to this result. The first of them was a reversion of the probable passive litigation provision, a total of 332 million BRL, which is due to favorable rulings to the company, settlements, and finally, a strict revision that we carried out of the 45 strategic cases, which represent about 80% of our total litigation. The second item was the negative net effect of 110 million BRL, which was an adjustment in the recuperation value of the Porto Primavera, Ilha Solteira, and Jupiá assets. For Porto Primavera, we had an adjustment of 120 million BRL, and for Ilha Solteira and Jupiá, a negative adjustment of 230 million. This adjustment for Ilha Solteira and Jupiá corresponds to bringing the asset recuperation value to the same basis so that it is consistent with what we have for Três Irmãos. Finally, we also built tax credit, an amount a bit above 1 billion BRL, and this is due to higher expectation in tax results over the year or over the next years. So since we have this higher expectation, we managed to create these tax credits, which will correspond to a lower cash expense in the future. And we also have recurring expenses such as depreciation, amortization, and non-recurring expenses such as expenses with the voluntary dismissal program, which we have mentioned in previous quarters. Continuing with page 15, here we see that due to the growth in EBITDA and the strong cash generation, the capital structure for the company has become more robust. Our leverage for the second quarter of 2019 was 4x net debt by EBITDA, and it reached 1.3x in the fourth quarter of 2019. So we deleveraged significantly. This is also associated to the net profit I mentioned and the strong cash generation. And it allows the company to pay out 606 million BRL in dividend, a payout that is close to 6%. Finally, here's our net profile, a gross debt of 1.8 billion BRL with a term of 4.4 years on average at a cost of CDI plus 1.64%. That is due in 4 installments that are yearly from 2022 to 2025. I'll let Mario have the floor again so he can wrap up his presentation with the main initiatives for 2020. Please go ahead, sir. Thank you, Marcelo. So I think we were very successful in complying with our goals for the first year, 2019, and how we adjusted to the company so that we establish on page 17 some of the main initiatives that we will have for the year. So the first thing to mention is related to the operation and how we are continuously managing expenses and costs. This did not stop in 2019. It will continue this year, whether it is by looking at our results and our expenses with purchased power, manageable costs, other costs. We will continue to have discipline to seek even more efficiency in 2020. The second aspect, which is important to mention, is our plan to regulate, monetize, and clean our non-operational real estate. As was mentioned before, we received with CESP a basis of a real estate assets, which is quite significant. So we have a plan focusing on regulating and selling these pieces of real estate. It started in 2019, but it will become stronger now in 2020. Moreover, we are advancing in our installation of systems, automation, making our processes more digital, and basing our management in information. This is very important for our agenda to move forward. And 2020 will be a very important year in that sense, so that we can gain more momentum in that front. And finally, we have always had a very good performance in occupational safety and health in all of our operations. And we are continuing with this agenda in 2020. Basically, our goal is to position CESP as one of the benchmark companies in the electrical industry. So this also includes transformation, perfecting our system, and this will continue in 2020. Regarding active and passive litigation, our strategy will continue. We are being very selective and very careful. We are still open to negotiations for some of these lawsuits. We will continue to do so in 2020. And just as we have been in 2019, we're also waiting for some rulings in 2020, which will be very important so that we can continue solving this. So this and also adjusting our provisions are our priorities, and this should be continued in 2020. Moreover, we are working very closely with our litigation liabilities. So whenever we have some more information, we will keep you very well informed. We've talked about trading. In 2020, we hope to consolidate our operations for the CESP trading company. It's a very interesting action. The first priority, of course, is to manage the position that CESP has had in the last years, and this will continue until 2022. And a lot of this position is already defined, and our priority is to conclude it over the next quarters. And we also want to position the trading company so that it becomes relevant and has an important share of the operations of the market in 2020. And finally, our investor relations agenda. In 2019, we managed to establish a good level of transparency and regularity in how we talk to the market. We have a domestic and a foreign investor market, so we hope to continue having the same level of transparency with both sides. So that's a summary, so to say, of our situation right now. I'd like to thank you all
Ladies
for
and
listening
gentlemen, we
in.
will now begin our Q&A
Thank you
session.
for the year, and we will now
To
open
ask a
for
question,
questions and answers
please
session.
dial
Thank you.
star 1. To remove your question from the queue, please dial star 2. Our first question comes from Ms. Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse. Good morning, everyone. I have a question about the hydrology scenario that you are working on for this year. You mentioned throughout your call and also in your presentation that you covered 80% of the exposure that you expected for 2020. So I'd just like to know if you could tell us a bit about the scenario for the year. Thank you. Hi, Carolina. This is Mario. Thank you for your question. We concluded 2019 with an average GSF of 81%. So in our plan, in managing our energy balance for 2020, we try to be conservative and we are assuming that we will have the same levels for 2020. This is slightly below the market average, even in some important markets that have their own models. Right now, starting off the year, we're considering the same levels as 2019 for 2020. Okay, thank you. The next question comes from Marcelo Sá from from Itaú Bank. Hi everyone, congratulations on your results. I have two questions. First, I'd like to understand a bit more about Três Irmãos. Given that this legal proceeding is taking longer than expected initially, I'd just like to understand if there are any ideas of trying to invest in the dispute to at least try to get the amount back from the government that was promised. Is that a possibility that you're looking into? And also, given the company's strong cash generation, I know that in the beginning you were focused on looking at the legal disputes. That was the focus, but I would like to know if you're thinking about a future growth and what you can comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions, Marcelo. Regarding Três Irmãos, no. With Três Irmãos, our strategy is still to follow up on the case closely. Although it's true, we haven't had any new facts during this last quarter, the process is still ongoing. The judge has been dealing with it, and it is moving forward in the Brazilian justice system. Parties haven't been heard, and we are expected to be heard as the suit goes along. It's expected that both parts will be heard again. This is not necessarily an obligation that the judge has. He is sovereign in the process, but we're still waiting. Our strategy right now is to wait to see how it develops, and it can be an important landmark in this suit. Regarding capital allocation and growth, no, we still don't have a defined strategy, and we're not really looking into growth alternatives right now. We've always understood that the first years of management are very important to redefine and transform CESP and how we will work. We had a very successful year, and 2020 is also a year in which we will focus on that. One of the best capital allocations for CESP right now is to remove the contingent liabilities that we have. That level of contingency that we have is quite high, so the idea is to roll back on that. That's the main allocation of capital that we are taking right now.
Okay, that was very clear. Thank you.
The next question comes from Guilherme Lima from Santander Bank.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. Regarding the tax credit of about 1 billion that you received, is that the total value that you can recognize, or will that be an additional value that you will still get? Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Guilherme. The amount recorded in the third quarter is what was possible to achieve according to our profitability expectations for the next years. If we can record new values, will depend on how the company evolves. Since we run this test every year, of course, every year is different, but right now, that is the amount we recorded. It's the amount that we can record given the expectation of profitability that the company has right now.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please dial star one. The next question comes from André Sampaio from Santander Bank.
If we could just ask one more question, I'd just like to know a bit more about pension funds. What are the discussions like on pension funds? I'd just like to hear a bit more about that. Thank you.
Hi, André. Thank you for your question. Regarding pension funds, we are being careful about going into detail about that.
According to the criteria we've used to identify potential deficits and their corrections, we've adopted a criterion that has been adopted by the market overall, which is to discount the liability curve through the value of public bonds. That led to a deficit this year, which is registered in our statement, but this regulation also gives us the possibility of, when allowed for by the mature, by the market as it is mature, to have a mix considering private bonds as well, to bring it to the actual balance, considering a deficit or a surplus. So we were careful about describing how this criterion was calculated, although it wasn't adopted by us in our accounting. You can see that when we use the private bonds, there are basically no deficits, and there are also no deficits in the fund when we adopt the PREVIC criteria. This is the one that regulates effectively potential capital deposits in the fund when it is in deficit. So it is a surplus, and we are not predicting that we will have any amounts deposited into the fund. It's very well balanced, as many others right now. We are reviewing our portfolio to adapt ourselves to the new moment in Brazil with lower interest rates, but it's a very easy situation. It's under control. Okay, perfect. So just to confirm, from what I understood, you're being conservative. Is that right? We are running our financial results in accounting in the most conservative way possible, and we're also trying to explain to the market the effect it would have on other criteria. So that's correct. Thank you. The next question comes from Carolina Carneiro, Credit Suisse. Hi, everyone. If you could tell us a bit more about your real estate sales strategy. You mentioned that you were letting go of some of it. So can you tell us what assets are going to be sold potentially, and if you have an estimated value, at least so that we can have an idea of what could be the potential you mentioned during your presentation. Thank you. Hi, Carolina. Thank you for your question again. Look, our real estate base we have right now, since CESP was the last part of the original CESP that was privatized, it came along with the company. So we received a number of non-operational assets that came from CESP and our past operations in other segments, transmission and distribution of power. So it's a very important group of assets. They are urban and rural assets, which are spread in upstate São Paulo mainly. The accounting value are historical, and they are very low. They're not significant. The market assessment that we have for each potential asset has a much better value that goes over, let's say, 200 million. It could be over 200 million. So the criteria we're using is very careful because, of course, we don't want to cause any impact in deflating the market. We're respecting our own strategy. We also have real estate support. So we have consultancy companies helping us with that. And we started already selling our real estate assets. It's very careful in its timeline, again, not to deflate the market. And we are doing this gradually. As we sell and as this becomes cash or credit, we will report quarterly from now on. We have our own internal goals. And the goals that we have for 2020 are just for a small fraction of the potential value that I mentioned to you. Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have a question, please dial star one. As there are no further questions, we would like to give the floor to Mr. Mario Bertoncini for his company, for, excuse me, for his closing remarks.
I'd like to thank everyone for listening into our call, for being interested in SASB, and for following up on this entire year. We will continue. We have a strong IR agenda. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for the results, and we'll speak to you soon. Have a nice day. This concludes SASB's conference call. Thank you for listening in, and have a nice day.